They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. And Brent, do you see that spooky door we're walking towards right now?
What spooky door?
It's a spooky door. It's a place beyond time and imagination or something, right?
Yeah, we're watching Twilight this week.
Twilight, yes. We're watching Twilight. We got that Edward. We got that Jacob. We got that Bella. We in Forks, Washington for a love triangle of a supernatural proportion.
I'm team Bella. I don't care what anybody says.
You're team independent woman. She don't need no man, let me tell you.
Until she gets pregnant on, I think, the wedding night, right?
And yeah, they wait till they wait to get married, and then he just blows her back out. It's very...
And I think he broke the headboard. I've seen one of the Twilights, but we're in the zone of Twilight.
Yes, yes, we are in the zone where Edward did blow that back out, broke the bed. So you know,
submitted for your vagina, vampire penis.
We are talking this week about the Twilight Zone. I was not prepared for how excited people were when we announced we were going to do the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I just, every year it's a New Year's Eve, New Year's Day tradition in the Terhune household is that you get some donuts on New Year's Day and you watch the Twilight Zone because usually there's a marathon on and now there's no lack of streaming for it. So it's kind of good way to, I think, start the year off with some dystopian horror.
Yes, I do have a baseball tee that has like the Twilight Zone New Year's Day marathon that a brand called Discount Cemetery makes. I need to get a new one because I outgrew the old one.
Yeah, you got too muscular, didn't you?
Got too beef boy. Yeah, for sure. However, I will say, did you watch this on Paramount Plus?
I think so. I've seen you posting recently about Paramount Plus because I just watched the Stand miniseries, the newer one.
Yes.
And on three, we'll say if it's good or bad. One, two, three. It fucking sucks.
I was gonna say, fucking sucks. Did you watch it? Do you have it through Amazon or like the actual app itself?
I think it's just the app.
Yeah, the app is fucking terrible. I have never seen an app that was so glitchy. Like, we're going to talk about Time Enough at Last. And I had watched this episode a few weeks ago, and I was going to watch it for the podcast again to be like a refresh. But it's fresh in my mind. It would not let me just restart the fucking episode. I was like, what? Do you not want me to, like, it wouldn't let me rewind it. There's no restart episode button. It's like, you've watched it once. It's at the end. Fuck you. Like, that's it.
You did it once. That's it. You get one.
I can't watch Ink Master. Like, Ink Master, you can watch one episode, and then you play next episode, and it just fucking glitches out. It is the worst app of any streamer I've ever had. Get your shit together, Paramount Plus.
Producer wife and I always, whenever we, you know, you get a new nap at, or you take a nap, you get a new app to see what's on their catalog and stuff, and everything has a new app now. And it's like, can you just make it like Netflix? Netflix is kind of the standard for, I think, the interface is great.
Yes. For me, I actually really like the Max. I like Max.
Yeah, I like that too. If I had a desert island app, I'm choosing Max.
Yeah, because you get the Sopranos, you get all your HBO shows. It's a good but even Netflix anymore, you're like, I don't know how this is categorizing shit. I don't know what they're doing.
I like it. It'll be like, if you watch the Twilight Zone, how about you just watch the brand new series that we just came out with? You'll love it.
You want to watch that Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler movie? You like The Twilight Zone. You'll like Marriage Story or whatever.
Yeah, whatever Netflix studio, whatever app you're on, the thing they just came out with is perfect. It pairs well.
Yes. Now that we have justly shit on the Paramount Plus app, it's the only way to watch Twilight Zone, which fucking sucks.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Time Enough at Last and Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. But I think we should start off this episode a little bit differently, Gavin, because you want to do some Twilight Zone facts, because we could possibly have more Twilight Zone episodes in this podcast later.
I'm going to call this episode Twilight Zone Volume 1, That way, if you want to do like volume two later on, you can like have it stacked up. That way, it's not like Twilight Zone. This is, we're gonna cover two episodes, and that's gonna be it forever.
Yeah, we've said all there is to say about 156 episodes. Of course, Rod Serling created the series, and I think I follow his daughter on Twitter, and she's always tweeting stuff about her dad. Which, that's an interesting follow. If you follow her and then Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter, if you're looking for legacy tweets, I guess.
Okay.
Those are good follows.
Well, you can just watch George Carlin's new special, right?
Yeah, that's how I found out that there's an AI George Carlin special. Kelly Carlin was tweeting about it, and she was not happy. But yeah, there are almost six dimensions in the beginning of the show. There's six dimensions, and one of the network executives said, "What happened to the fifth?" So Serling assumed that there were already five dimensions, not four. Luckily, they corrected the mistake. And then, Gavin, can you name the four dimensions?
Well, three-dimensional is when it's, like, coming at you, right?
Length, width, and height, I guess, and time. I was like, I don't even know the dimensions, and I didn't look it up, so.
I was like, 2D is when you're looking at, like, a paper. 3D is, like, when it's, you know, when it's 3D.
When it's, like, right in your face.
1D is what Harry Styles used to be in, right?
Isn't that? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
And Zane in the Membrane.
Please don't ask me these things. Dimensions like width?
I don't know, man.
A rhombus.
You mean a diamond? Nobody says rhombus in real life. You get your ass, that's like saying, sorry, I'm tardy, and you're not showing up to school.
My favorite wrestler is Rhombus Dallas Page. I don't know about you.
Bang. viewers were able to send in scripts. Now, a lot of these... Rod Serling wrote, but he adapted, doing my research for these two episodes, from short stories or other things. But back in the 60s, you were able to send in a script to the show and maybe get it made. Some 14,000 scripts were sent in, and 500 of them were read by Serling. He said only two were any good, but they didn't fit the format of the show, so they made zero.
That's always going to be like, this is my big break. Let me send in my spec script to Twilight Zone. I'm going to be rich. And they're like, this isn't very good.
Back then, they didn't have caller ID, so you just answer the phone. Hello, Mr. Serling?
This sounds like when we go on Patreon and be like, we need bonus episode ideas. And we get like a bunch and we're like, well, we're just going to do what we were going to do anyway, but
yeah,
thanks for trying.
We just give the illusion that we're going to, your money goes towards something. By the way, follow us on Patreon. If you want to chime in, and we won't use your stuff, we do. one actor appeared in all five seasons. A guy named Robert McCord appeared in 67 episodes, mostly
Good
as
God.
An extra. That's a lot of episodes.
I know. I thought you were going to say like he appeared in one episode each season, but 67. I'm gonna start looking for him. Be like, God damn.
That's it. That's like one of the things in the drinking game is you look for whatever his name was that I just read. Robert McCord.
Oh, shit, there he is. Take a shot.
One episode won an Oscar. It was called An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. In the fifth season, Serling resorted to an unusual cost-cutting measure. He paid $10,000 to purchase the French short film An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. The silent film was perfect for the show. And was broadcast in 1964. The previous year, the film won an award for Oscar for Best Short Subject. So I guess if you're going to buy an Oscar award-winning thing and then just put it on yours.
Imagine if another show did that. Imagine if the new season of American Horror Story was just the movie Moonlight. Be like, what? Yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah, it's like when you see a Netflix original. I'm sure it didn't start out as a Netflix. It's like, hey, we got this script. It's called Stranger Things. They're like, sounds good.
Can we make it a movie? Nah, let's make it a long series instead.
So a lot of Star Trek actors. Of course, we're going to talk about William Shatner, but we've also got Leonard Nimoy in the one called A Quality of Mercy. And then George, is it Takei or Takei?
George Takei.
Played a Japanese American man in The Encounter, And also, another fact is, have you seen the Twilight Zone movie?
I have not seen the Twilight Zone movie. I know that it killed people.
Yeah, it ends. Well, it ended for some people. two children and an adult were killed, and John Landis was charged with involuntary manslaughter. After 9 months, he was acquitted, and then he settled out of court with the families of the deceased. But God damn.
Yeah, there was a Shudder series called Cursed Films that did an entire episode on it. I was unfamiliar with it. I was like, what's this going to be about? I had never heard about this. And yeah, if you use too much pyro and a live helicopter is flying around, the helicopter can crash and slice up some kids and an adult actor.
What a weird, like, John Landis is, he directed American Werewolf in London, Blues Brothers, I think Coming to America. Like, these are iconic comedy movies. And then it's like, people got killed, you know?
Yeah, this was during the time when directors could really do whatever they wanted. And this actually, because people got legitimately killed, like, we're not joking, people got killed with a fucking helicopter.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't just let them do whatever the hell they want on set.
Yeah. Yeah. One episode had a sequel, Gavin.
Ooh, which episode?
So there was a 1985 and then a 2002. I don't think I've seen any of the 2002 episodes. And this is from MeTV, this article. But must be an old article because there since has been another reboot with Jordan Peele.
Yeah, which I didn't watch any of.
I watched the first one with Kumail Nanjiani. He played a comedian. And then the next episode featured Adam Scott and was like the third reboot of Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
They love planes and gremlins.
But it was a twist. It was a twist.
A twist.
The prequel, or the sequel, it's called It's a Good Life, was turned into a sequel in the reboot. Cloris Leachman and Bill Mumy, I think, reprised their respective roles of the mother and her mind-controlling son, making the only two actors to appear in both the original and the reboot.
Very nice, very nice.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The phrase submitted for your approval is only said three times throughout the whole series.
And that's why Are You Afraid of the Dark is a better show.
That's true. And Goosebumps.
It's submitted for our approval every episode. And the Midnight says, I think Rod Serling really missed out on throwing talcum powder into a fire. That's what the show's really lacking.
It needs, you know what? If I haven't seen all the Twilight Zones, but I'm sure there's one where a mask gets stuck to a little girl's face.
There is one. There's one in the last season called Masks. There is a mask episode. Everything,
I'll be damned.
Yeah, everything with like Simpsons. There's the old joke. Simpsons did it. Twilight Zone did a lot of this. There's the Talking Tina episode, which was like the first real killer doll episode.
Mm-hmm.
You got Mask, which is like the mask haunting. Eye of the Beholder is another great one. The Twilight Zone episodes, kind of like how we talked about with Goosebumps, the episode kind of lives or dies by the twist. If the twist kind of sucks, you're like, well, I just kind of watched this for nothing. Not every Twilight Zone episode is a home run.
Yeah, there's 156. Not all of them are bangers.
Yeah, even though they all have a very special place in everybody's heart. But yeah, not all bangers. Not all bangers.
Well, there's one of the iconic ones, To Serve Man. And I could always tell, but I didn't know for sure. But the main guy, the main alien, Kanamit, I think is his name. Been a while since I've seen that one, but it's played by Richard Kiel, who played Jaws and the movie Jaws.
he played the shark.
Yeah, he played. That's the shark's not the name is not Bruce. It's Jaws.
Yeah,
he played the Jaws and James Bond, The Spy Who Loved Me, and Moonraker.
Yes, he also played the tall, scary man in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, guns don't kill people. I kill people.
And I'll be seeing you in the parking lot after this.
Rod Serling would record his dreams. He kept a tape recorder next to his bed, so if he had a dream, he could wake up and record it. And some of his dreams ended up being Twilight Zone episodes.
Yeah, that's why there's so many Twilight Zone episodes where the person just ejaculates.
Yeah, it was the wet dream.
Every episode just like, and then... Ugh, ugh.
And then his mom came in and was like, what's all this mess?
What's all this? I'm sorry, Mom. Don't look in here. Get out of here. He was incredibly Jewish. So his mother probably sounded like that.
Rod Serling, was he Jewish?
Yeah, it was. Let's see. I'm on his Wikipedia. I think it said he was. Yeah, Serling was born in 1924 in Syracuse, New York, to a Jewish family.
Well, let me go ahead and wrap up this episode. No.
Can we talk real quick about Rod Serling and the cigarettes?
Dude, like, there's so many. There's certain people when you see interviews, and they're never not smoking.
Yeah. He has such an iconic voice. Like, his voice is what really sets Twilight apart. And that voice was brought to you by smoking 3 to 4 packs of cigarettes a day. And these are 50 cigarettes. Where it's just pure tobacco, no filter.
Prescribed by the doctor, no less.
Oh, your back hurts? Well, smoke these and you'll feel a lot better in the morning.
He was one of the, it's like, I don't think either one, I'd have to look back, either one had him smoking in these, because him being on camera only started in the second season. So the time one, I don't think he was on camera until the end, maybe.
Yeah, he stopped at the end. I know this because I couldn't rewind past it on the fucking Paramount Plus app. So I'm very familiar with Rod Serling at the end of that episode.
But there's so many, and like you'd see like, videos of Walt Disney. Back in the day, just, I'm going to smoke, so hit record.
Walt Disney, welcome to Disneyland. We got a mouse, and I love this.
Yeah. A long, cool drag off of Winston.
But he's always smoking. And even now, 3 to 4 packs a day, you will die. And, spoiler, he did die.
Well, but he also said he was born in 1920-something, so.
Yes, he died of tuberculosis.
The first episode of the series set in an idyllic town, at the center of which is a large square. Now, the first episode of the series, by the way. At one end is the courthouse, a movie theater, a high school sits across the street from the police department. Shops of all kinds lie the sidewalks, and wouldn't you know, it's been used in so many things, including the movie To Kill a Mockingbird. But this is the one I knew it from when I looked at the picture, is Back to the Future. You got to save the town clock.
Oh, Gavin. That's the same town clock?
That's true, yeah.
Okay, and you know, Back to the Future and Twilight Zone, they are kind of similar in the way they handle things.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest that we just cover Back to the Future on this horror movie podcast, because it's just a good movie.
I think people would like that, actually. I don't think anybody
if we broke the format.
If we broke the format, I mean, we've made some questionable choices before, but I think if we covered Back to the Future, no one would be mad.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, that sounds good.
And if they're mad, that just means they don't believe in the power of love.
The Twilight Zone term comes from aviation. The term is derived from the fact that twilight is generally considered to be the time of day after the sun goes down, but before nighttime really begins. So you'd have pilots flying into the Twilight Zone. And it's also a song by Golden Earring. So.
Now I'm confused because you say aviation is the Twilight Zone, but I've heard it's the Danger Zone.
No, that's true. From Kenny Loggins, right?
Yeah, so is it the Twilight Zone or is it the Danger Zone? Does it become the Danger Zone at a certain time or like Twilight Zone after like nighttime?
Well, and I think when it comes to flights, it's definitely when there's a gremlin on the wing of the plane. That's the Danger Zone. And here's the fact, and we'll get to it. We're going to start off with the time episode, but that seat where William Shatner's sitting, if you look now when you fly, I think they have a triangle around that seat that's just over the wing in case there's something wrong. They need to get to that seat. They don't have to be like looking to see where the wing is. And that seat is called the William Shatner seat.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you see a gremlin on the wing, they don't have to like look around you. Like you're just right there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It, right there.
So when just
look for that Shatner seat. I shat in the Shatner seat.
The Shatner seat. Isn't that it's very Southern thing. Be like, yeah, Shatner seat. What?
killed her. Damn near Shatner.
Oh God, we're stupid.
So that's all the facts that I have. Do you you know, we chose these episodes, and I think the time episode, I keep calling it, and I can't remember the actual title. Time Enough at Last.
Time Enough at Last. You're like the time episode.
The time one. I would say maybe that's my favorite one, and there are others that are my favorites. There's so many episodes, and then some of them I just end up rewatching. So they're ones that I've just have never seen.
Yeah, it's not a show that you can really binge. Because they do all get very samey after a while. You can watch...
You know, there's a twist. It's like watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie. You know something's coming.
Yeah, but at 25 minutes, it's not a tough watch. You get in, get out, you watch something, you're like, what's this spooky thing going to be? And then you're like, that was pretty spooky. I liked it. I will say, a lot of these episodes do very... Even though the effects might be cheesy, the stories hold up almost 60, 70 years later.
Yeah, I think a lot of when they start off, it's the strong themes of the episodes, and they go from there. And I think that's makes stuff timeless is when it's, you know, when you're dealing with stuff like racism, and you're like, oh, that in 60 years, that won't be a problem anymore. And you're like, no, it still is.
Yeah, it sure is. What? we joked about how Rod Serling died. But he did die of, he had open heart surgery, and he got a second heart attack because of all the cigarettes, and then he died. He was only 50 when he died.
Damn.
I know.
That's so young.
I know. He would have been, when was it? I said his birthday was in December. Yeah, he would have been turning 100 years old this year.
Oh, well, I guess that's why we did this, right?
Yeah, happy 100th birthday. But it's crazy to think that he died 50 years ago, and Twilight Zone was, it was because of him it became so successful, and he was a handsome-looking man.
Man, he was handsome, even in black and white. You know you're handsome when you're handsome in black and white.
Yeah, he's definitely like that, he's got that Don Draper look going on.
Yeah, and just having watched Mad Men in the past year, everybody's smoking in that too. So.
Yeah, and you know he at least smacked a PA on the butt a time or two.
Well, that's you can't even do a show without that. That's how they said action. I didn't even have that little thing that they slapped down there. And
it's like that scene in Dr. No, the first James Bond movie, when Sean Connery just smacks a woman on the ass and goes, "Run along now, man talk."
Run along, yeah. Like when a woman gets hysterical, you could just slap her and oh. Thank you for setting me straight, Mr. Bond.
I was just so faint. I should have eaten. I've had no water today. I've had nothing to eat. Be like, now I got smacked and I feel much better.
My brother was eaten by the dead. My lands.
Stop it. You're being ignorant.
Well, right. Do you want to, is The Twilight Zone like a favorite show of yours or like a go-to?
It's become a favorite. Stephanie really likes it. And she's always like, let's watch Twilight Zone because she likes old stuff. And I don't mind old stuff. Twilight Zone is one thing that we agree on as just like a classic thing. It's just fun to like go back and watch these. And as a fan of horror and sci-fi, it's really a time capsule of like where the genre kind of started and... so many of the things, like we said, have been ripped off with masks and and Chucky is talking Tina. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah. Even The Simpsons, you get so many references. Even when you watch the Treehouse of Horror episodes, you're like, oh, I wonder where the story came from. And then you see the Twilight Zone episode, and you're like, oh, well, that's what it's from. Yeah.
Yeah, but that becomes a paradox in itself, because if The Simpsons did it, but Twilight Zone did it, who did it?
Night Gallery, I think, is who did it.
Night Gallery.
Night Gallery.
That sounds real sexy. Did you ever watch Outer Limits?
No, I didn't. There's so many of these like Twilight Zone-esque shows that when I was like looking, because we're going to recommend shows at the end of this, of course, and then you get other stuff that pops up, and I was like, I haven't even seen all the Twilight Zone, so why would I branch off to the Outer Limits or even Black Mirror or stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, Outer Limits I watched a couple of, and I tried to be like, I was kind of insufferable as like a teen, where I was like, "Oh, you
just
like
as a teen? How old are you now?"
I'll be 37 soon, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, but, so just insufferable then, not now.
Listen, I watch anime with the subtitles, so...
Oh, pretentious, eh?
I know what Goku's voice really sounds like. but I'd be like, oh, Twilight Zone, have you seen Outer Limits? It actually does a lot of things a lot better than the Twilight Zone. I'm really sorry to anyone who was affected by my pretentiousness back in those days.
Oh, that's okay. We're all pretentious at one point or another.
Yes. So we are going to talk about this first episode here, which is episode 8 of season 1, Time Enough at Last, a classic episode that actually our Patreon subscribers over at patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. Some of them suggested this episode when I asked, what are your favorite Twilight Zone episodes? This was suggested by Randy, our good friend TC Libby.
What up, Libby?
And Rockin' Robin as well.
Rockin' Robin. Gee, yeah. Thanks for everybody. And, you know, we might have a round 2, so never fear. You could suggest your episode, and we might do it.
We're going to do so many rounds. How many episodes did you say? 150?
Sure. Yeah. I think we're going to do whatever half that is.
75 rounds, baby.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with Time Enough at Last. I'm going to go ahead and read the opening narration for this one. Witness Mr. Henry Bemis, a charter member in the Fraternity of Dreamers, a bookish little man whose passion is the printed page, but who is conspired against by a bank president and a wife and a world full of tongue cluckers and the unrelenting hands of a clock. Sorry.
Sorry, you're smoking.
Sorry. But in just a moment, Mr. Bemis will enter a world without bank presidents or wives or clocks or anything else. He'll have a world all to himself without anyone. First off, everybody hates Henry. Everybody hates this guy.
Yeah, it's like he's Chris. Everybody hates Chris and everybody hates Henry.
And I love that they hate him because he dares read. He just likes reading. That's all it is.
Because there's a scene with his wife, like, darling, she doesn't want me to read, and she's making fun of this dude for reading. And I imagine back in whenever this came out, the 50s, you know, there were a lot of husbands doing a lot worse things than reading a book.
You're gonna waste all your time reading. Why aren't you out chasing some strange?
Yeah, and gambling and feeling up things and drinking and driving.
Racing a T-Bird, I think.
Yeah, like, everybody hates Henry, and also, he's a pushover. He could stand up for himself, but he just doesn't. He's just a nerd, and you wonder how he even got his wife in the first place.
Yeah, he's a real beta cuck.
Yeah.
He could watch some Andrew Tate videos and really learn to nut the fuck up.
You know, he'd watch him in the corner in that just empty chair. The cuck chair.
In the hotel room. His wife's getting banged. He's watching Andrew Tate videos.
Getting banged by Andrew Tate.
Andrew Tate's giving him advice the whole time. Like,
yo, you
gotta step
it like
up.
This, bro.
You gotta stop me. When your wife wants to bang Andrew Tate, you gotta step up and be like, no, I'm Andrew Tate. You gotta be a real alpha. Be a sigma.
And he tries to, like, jump in, and he's like, arr, arr, arr. He, like, barks at him.
Arr, arr. What it is! What it is! X gonna give it to you.
So he works at the bank, and he's a bank teller, and he's reading David Copperfield by Charles Dickens.
Isn't that a joke off your debut album, Mr. Turkey?
Yeah, I went, there was a magician that opened up for us in Myrtle Beach, and then he took us out on the town, and he was doing magic for all these women in the bars and stuff, and like making out with women, and then we went to a strip club, and then he's like, this is my girlfriend, guys. So she worked at the Dollhouse, and I won't say what comedian was the headliner, but he sells out tours now.
Oh, nice.
David Copperfield. No, what if I whispered, but they're like, did you just say Ron White?
Did you just say Dane Cook?
Yeah, what? It was Dane Cook. But and he was doing magic on I'll say people, but it was just women.
Yeah.
And he was very David Copperfield-esque. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So, yeah, he was reading David Copperfield. I will say, I would be annoyed if my bank teller was reading a book and then fucked up my change.
Well, yeah, like any, it, whether it's you're on your phone or now it, we'd all be on our phones. That's yes. the replacement, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday I went to McDonald's and there were three windows and I skipped mm-hmm. the pay window and I went right to the pickup window and the poor girl in braces, I made that McDonald's come to a screeching halt because they did not know what to do when somebody accidentally skips the pay window. And I was like, can't you just take my card down to the pay window and pay? And they're like, okay. And I was like, yeah. So if they were on their phones, they would have been, because I was on my phone and I skipped yeah. I skipped the line. So that was my fault. But I brought McDonald's to a screeching halt.
Back in the day, Henry would have been reading a book and driving.
Yeah. He would have been just reading that book while just, But yeah, I would be annoyed by that. But people, even before that, they're just like, stop fucking reading, you nerd.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. He's reading, and like I would be annoyed if this dude tried to tell me about his book. Like, there's a way to do that on the sly, and just do the job, and then you could go back to reading.
Yeah,
do your job correctly.
Yeah, but they're just like they say he wastes far too much time reading doggerel. According to the Wikipedia, they're like D-O-G-G-E-R-E-L.
Is that, that's not an author, right? That's a name.
That's
doggerel.
That's a slang.
Is a comic verse composed of irregular rhythm.
So I guess they just...
And it's doggerel. I just did the pronunciation.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so I guess there he's reading that doggerel, which I guess it'd kind of be like saying you're reading those funny books. Which is kind of derogatory for comic books. You're reading them funny books. You're going to rot your brain with them funny books.
Yeah, you're going to rot your brain by reading.
Yeah. And David Copperfield is like a literary classic. It's not.
Yeah, I've never read it. I was like, man, he wrote a book about the magician? It's like when I was a kid, you know? Like,
My favorite literary work is David Blaine. That's just,
true.
That's a good book.
You have to read that in a block of ice, or it's just not the same.
I put on black eyeliner, then I can reread the Chris Angel book. Really mind freaks you, let me tell you.
And then people run away like, oh, shit, no, you're the devil.
These guys, what's up? Hey, what's up? Ambushed by David Blaine. But, yeah, they hate this guy for reading, and then he goes home, and his wife... who is pretty hot. Like, this guy, he's got big, thick glasses. Them big old Coke bottle.
Burgess Meredith, by the way.
Yeah, what else was he in?
He was, I had to look it up because I was like, I know this guy from something. Of course, when I looked it up, he's the Penguin from the Adam West Batman.
Oh, my God. He is the Penguin, isn't he?
Yeah. And I'm sure he's, now give it a Google, he's a lot more things. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's the Penguin.
So we know he got laid playing the Penguin.
He was in Rocky.
Who was he in Rocky?
I have to look it up.
Apollo Creed?
No, he was Mickey. Rock.
Was he really Mickey?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I would have, if you would have said he played the meat, I'd be like, okay, good. good for him.
Yeah, he was, because when I watched this episode on New Year's, he was in Grumpy Old Men. Grumpier Old Men, The Rockies, the movie Magic, starring Anthony Hopkins, where there's very much a Twilight Zone episode where he's a ventriloquist, and they're not sure if it's the ventriloquist leading the dummy or the guy or vice versa, you know?
Ooh, a Night of Living Dummy situation.
Yeah. And of Mice and Men, the 1939 one.
Okay, I think he got to play the Penguin because they're like, well, he looked great in those big glasses. What about one monocle?
Yeah. Can I just tell you, I saw a meme today. It was on Twitter, and it was, there's going to be a spoiler for Of Mice and Men. So if you just fast forward a little bit. But it was the title page of a Mice and Men, and here's the spoiler, fast forward. It just says, George shoots Lenny. Wouldn't you be pissed if you go in to read this book and it's just the ending of the book right there?
Yeah, it'd be like if you opened up, spoiler for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, if you just opened the first page, it's like, Snape kills Dumbledore.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, what? God
damn it. Like,
what?
Literally the title page. It made me laugh, but man, I would hate whoever did that.
Oh, that's good. That's a good troll. The only negative is you're not there to see their reaction.
Yeah, you just have to trust that somebody got that from the library.
Yeah, that what is this horse shit?
And Burgess Meredith played George, and Lon Chaney Jr., Jr. played Lenny. So there's our horror connection for that.
Very nice. Now, he goes home to his pretty attractive wife for this nerd.
Olive oil. I mean olive oil.
For this beta cuck. He goes home, and his wife is like, read me some poetry. And then he finds she's like ruined his books. And you're like, what the hell? Why do you all hate reading so much?
Today, it'd be a video of her throwing a PS5 in a bathtub. But back then, he just had to write on literally every single page of the book. It takes more effort for you to do that than just let the dude read.
Show me how good you are at Call of Duty. Okay. And then he just chucks it in the bathtub.
I'm not saying it's right, but there are a lot worse things that at a guy in the 50s, I don't know, stereotypically beating his wife. Like, how come you never beat me? Like, you always reading.
Like, if he was beating her with books, I'd be like, yeah, maybe stop reading. But he's just reading regular.
Yeah. Again, I don't know why. I get because it's interfering with his work. But cut the dude some slack.
Yeah, he worked all day at the bank reading and fucking up change. He deserves his alone time to read at home.
That's true.
So this is where it becomes Twilight Zone. The next day, Henry goes to take his lunch break in the bank's vault.
Yeah, I don't know how that... I think things were more... We're going to see, like, smoking on a plane in the next episode. Yeah. So I think stuff back then just more lax.
Listen, pre-9/11, lunch eating in bank vaults was a different time.
Yeah, and you know, you didn't have the Joker busting in with all his cronies taking out each other and then escaping in a school bus, you know?
Did that school bus just leave the bank?
Yeah, just out, like, literally drove out of the bank.
No, that's fine. That's on their route.
You know how they drop kids off at the bank and pick them up?
But yeah, you just... this guy is definitely spilling mayonnaise all over the money. When you get that when you get that 20 back, you're like, is this mayonnaise?
You hope it's mayonnaise.
You never know at the bank. Then, out of nowhere,
because he's reading the newspaper and it mentions the H-bomb.
Yeah, which is which stands for hubomb.
Hell.
The hell bomb.
The hell word.
The H-E double hockey stick.
Hydrogen bomb.
Yes, and then we get this narration. Seconds, minutes, hours. They crawl by on hands and knees to Mr. Henry Bemis, who looks for a spark in the ashes of a dead world, a telephone connected to nothingness. A neighborhood bar, a movie, a baseball diamond, a hardware store. The mailbox at what was once his house is now a rubble. They lie at his feet as battered monuments to what was but is no more. Mr. Henry Bemis on an 8-hour tour of a graveyard. Yeah, he wanders the bomb goes off. Everybody's dead. He wanders out and realizes that everybody is dead and is the entire place is just rubble now.
Yeah, I very much like this part of the episode where I love to see rubble. I know it's messed up to, like, when people show footage of tornadoes and hurricanes. I don't like that it happened, but I like seeing the aftermath of that stuff, you know?
You like seeing the despair of the families as they realize they've lost everything?
No, not that. I just like to see shit fucked up. That's what I like. I'm an agent of chaos.
All right, baby Firefly, let's get fucked up, do fucked up shit.
But it's cool to just see the aftermath of that stuff, what they think it would. Because in the 50s and, you know, such a, with the Cold War and, oh, they're going to drop the bomb. And we did, twice on Japan. Like,
yeah.
That's a real reality.
Yeah, and I'm always afraid of this. Like, even now, it's still scary. Like, when we watch Independence Day, when you're kids, you're like, look at all the destruction. And now you're like, fuck.
Yeah, when we, on the episode, the horror movies that aren't horror on our Patreon, The disaster movies are scary to me because what are you going to do about a big wave? Nothing.
Will my insurance cover this?
They're dead and you're dead.
Be it's prepared like for me. Go ahead.
That Mount Vesuvius guy covered in ashes, you just start jerking it. You know that picture? It just looks like the guy's jerking it.
No.
If you Google it, I think it was Mount
Vesuvius.
You're going
to Google Mount Vesuvius jerking it? Well, let's keep the safe search off and see. Vesuvius.
I Googled Mount Vesuvius guy, and this is from the BBC. The headline is, this 2,000-year-old masturbating, air quotes, Pompeii man is going viral.
I see it. This dude laid back, dick out, just cranking it.
He just heard the eruptions, and he's like, might as well get one more out.
Let's see who can erupt quicker.
We get all the alerts on our phones that there's a bomb scare. My pants are hitting the ground. What's it matter? Let me have one more.
Then you realize it's just a test, and they're like, you need to leave the bank, sir, and take your David Copperfield with you.
Sir, can anybody blame me? Can anybody blame me?
When that, remember a few months ago when that big alert system went out that everybody thought was going to activate the 5G in our vaccines?
Yeah.
That's what I started.
Well,
drinking.
I had it ready to crank.
So. It was like a starting gun at a 5K for you.
Other people are like calling their loved one. Oh my God, I love you so much. I can't, and I'm just over there. Lotion in hand at the bus stop.
At the Bed Bath and Beyond. How dare you? That is a good photo. Please, everybody, look up this 2,000-year-old masturbating Pompeii man is going viral, which is one of the best headlines I've ever read in my entire
life. From the BBC, no less.
Journalism is not dead.
No. But the bomb goes off, and then he emerges from the vault, and he's walking around and posts apocalyptic whatever city he's in. There's cars, there's junk, there's buildings, and pretty quickly he finds a gun. It gets dark.
Yeah.
He's going to kill himself because nobody else is around.
Yeah, and this is where it kind of talks about there's a difference between like solitude and loneliness.
Yeah.
He's very lonely because there's nothing to do. He can't watch TV. He can't talk to anybody. Everybody's dead. But then
I walk a lonely road.
The only road that I have ever known. And then he finds a Green Day record.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what saves him. That's a really good episode.
Yeah, he found Dookie. There's no way the word Dookie would have hit the airwaves in 1950.
I got Dookie on vinyl for Christmas. So,
well, look at you, back to being pretentious.
Yes, all of my vinyl collection is just fucking pop punk from the 90s and 2000s.
Blink 182.
Yes, I wouldn't call it pretentious by any means.
Newfound Glory, I assume.
Oh, I don't have any Newfound Glory on vinyl, but now I need to add it to the list.
I bet you will.
I will. And you know what? After that, I will choose my friends over you. So, he does find a gun, and he's going to shoot himself. But then suddenly he finds a book.
What?
And another book. And another book. And he finds the public library.
And it's all this dude ever wanted was to be left alone with his books.
Yeah. He wanted to, and he finds all the books he could ever want. He starts lining them up. He stacks them up. He's like, I'll do these in February and January and March and April and May. I'll read this, 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 and this. At some point, I'm like, dude, it's going to rain. So you might want to like take these inside. Probably going to be acid rain.
Never mind the nuclear fallout stuff, but that's it for another podcast.
It's fine. There's radiation everywhere. This does kind of remind me of the video game Fallout.
Yeah, I've never played that, but that was on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it reminds me of Fallout a lot, which I love those games. So it has a very Fallout feel. Even it's crazy to be like, yeah, this 60s show reminds me of Fallout. So you can tell they took inspiration.
Oh, yeah. And I think even in the Fallout, there's a guy in the library that's supposed to be this character, essentially.
Yeah.
Is what it said on Wikipedia, mm-hmm. Of course.
So he has his book stacked up. He sits down to get ready to read. And then the twist happens.
Mm-hmm.
The depressing twist. He bends down to pick up a book. He trips, his glasses fall off, and they shatter. Not crack, these things shatter beyond repair. And he is, he's farsighted, not nearsighted. Mm-hmm. So he needs those glasses to read.
But the thing is, like, he could probably stumble around and find a Dr. Tavel or a Lens Crafters if he can see.
I mean, yeah, he gives up really quick. He could stumble. I'm sure there's a skeleton with glasses that are near his prescription.
Yeah, this guy's going to be fine. But it's a great twist because this is all he ever wanted. He wanted to be alone in solitude, but not be lonely. So now he's not lonely because he's got his stories. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Then his glasses break. And what a twist.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave you feeling good, right?
But no, like, you feel like, you're like, God, now he's going to go shoot himself.
Yeah, but he can't find the gun because can't see.
It's like when Velma loses her gun. My gun, my gun. She's on
my
hands.
Gun, gang.
Where's my gun? I can't see. I can't shoot myself without my gun.
He's wearing those Milton's from Office Space glasses,
mm-hmm.
or the bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
From Trailer Park Boys. Yeah. And then he says, but I have time now. And you're mm-hmm. like, And then Rod Serling comes in and is like, that was fucked up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You like that shit? You like it?
That's right. I bet you do. We'll be back next week.
Send us your scripts. We'll make some more shit if you want to just do it.
I need toilet paper. Send me your scripts.
overall, what is your, did you, is this one of your, you said it is your favorite episode?
It's probably one of them. I'd have to think about it and watch them more. But I just like a down ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what the Twilight Zone mostly is. It's just a bunch of down endings.
That's true. And it was based on a short story by Lynn Venable. And it was first published in 1953 in January, and an edition of If, Worlds of Science Fiction. And this aired November 20th, 1959.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I very much like that episode.
Yeah. Some themes in it, according to Wikipedia. Although the overriding message is be careful what you wish for, you might not get it. There's other themes like solitude versus loneliness. And that at the same time, the ending actually punishes him for his antisocial behavior, and his greatest desire is thwarted. So maybe mm-hmm. if he had just been more of a people person, it wouldn't have been so so big of a downer for him.
Yeah. Man, does that part of this episode intrigue you, where there's whatever hobby you like, Gavin, part of you's like, wouldn't that be great to be... No, have nobody around, and then I could do my hobby, whatever it is.
Yeah, but a lot of my hobbies, though, involve other people.
Okay.
So, like, I like Magic the Gathering. You have to have other people to play, really, to do that. Mm. I guess painting miniatures is a hobby I have that you can do by yourself.
Yeah.
But, like, Dungeons and Dragons, video games. I mean, I guess you could do a lot of video games by yourself. A lot of single-player games. But, yeah, I feel like after a while, it would get old. Like, I see a lot of people who stream video. Like, if you just take gaming, for example, video games are fun, and I've streamed me playing before, but after, like, 2 hours, I'm like, I want to play by myself now. I don't want to do this for an audience anymore. So,
yeah.
So if you just, like, keep doing it over and over, you'll probably get bored of it after a while.
When you were speaking, it has nothing to do with anything, Gavin. Mm-hmm. I thought of maybe my favorite episode besides this one.
What is it?
And I don't remember what it's called, but the guy... dies, he's a gambler, and he goes to heaven, and it turns out when he gambles the whole time, and all he can do is win.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he went to hell.
Let me see.
So his hell is that he only wins, so there's no thrill because he knows he's going to win.
I've seen that one. It's called The Fever.
Okay, yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good one. That is from season 1, episode 17. So, yeah, I have seen that one. That's a good one, too. And we just spoiled the twist.
And, of course, I just gave away the twist. Yeah, so.
he's in hell. Also.
It's hard to talk about these without giving away the twist, but it's also, a 50-year-old show?
Yeah,
so,
also.
I don't know how many years.
Yeah, also Snape kills Dumbledore.
God damn it. you jump to... I think sometimes I'm like, man, if I could just live to my own devices, I could do because rarely do I get to read for pleasure. Usually it's work.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just want to sit back with a copy of Jugs
and read for pleasure, you know? A good playpen issue. Oh, my God.
Yeah. With a good playgirl. I mean, playboy.
Playgirl is a... Girls read it, right? Girls read it?
Yeah, that's a... I get the Shawn Michaels episode. Not the episode, but the issue.
That's what a funny size I know, because we talk about wrestling a lot. Shawn Michaels did Playgirl because he thought girls looked at it. Turns out it's mostly gay men.
Hey, man, whatever. Like, as long as I get that check.
As long as he's that sexy boy and not your boy toy, he gets that money.
Hey, it doesn't matter. Hog's a hog to me, baby.
A hog's a hog. That's what I'm putting on your tombstone.
Put that on the tombstone, yeah. You start now because I want it ready when I die in 6 months.
What'd he die from? Too much hogging.
Too much hog. What if I did die in 6 months and then you get to play the clip? He predicted it, folks.
It's going to sound super fucking sus if you die in 6 months. I'm going to be the only suspect.
And you have the headstone ready? Hey, a hog's a hog.
The detective asked me about it. Like, what do you want? He really wanted that. He said he wanted a hog's a hog on it, man.
Yeah, 1989 to 2024. Hog's a hog.
All right. You want to go, you want to join the Mile High Club?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We're going to talk now about Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, which is the third episode of the fifth season of the American television anthology series, The Twilight Zone, based on a short story of the same name by Richard Matheson. First published in the short story anthology Alone by Night in 1961. It originally aired on October 11th, 1963.
Portrait of a frightened man. Mr. Robert Wilson, 37, husband, father, and salesman on sick leave. Mr. Wilson has just been discharged from a sanitarium where he spent the last 6 months recovering from a nervous breakdown, the onset of which took place on an evening not dissimilar to this one, on an airliner, very much like the one in which Mr. Wilson is about to be flown home. The difference being that, on that evening, a half a year ago, Mr. Wilson's flight was terminated by an onslaught of his mental breakdown. Tonight, he's traveling all the way to his appointed destination, which, contrary to Mr. Wilson's plan, happens to be the darkest corner of the Twilight Zone.
equals MC squared.
Wayne's World, didn't they do the Twilight Zone ending?
I think they did.
And can we talk about, there's a Futurama episode where they parody Time Enough at Last, where the guy reads his book. He has time to read the books, and then his glasses falls off, and then he says, well, at least I can read Braille, and then his hands fall off.
Nightmare at 20,000 Feet is very famous because it's been parodied a lot. It's parodied by The Simpsons. It's also been, I think they did it on Family Guy. I think the monkey that sometimes looks at Peter Griffin and, like, stares, I think it's kind of based on the gremlin.
I think it's Chris Griffin, right? And it lives in Chris's closet.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like that is a reference to the gremlin from this episode.
I think this is, like, one that's been referenced so much that it's just kind of, if you don't get it, you get it because you saw the reference on something else and you know it's a reference to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anytime you get on a plane, there's two things I think about. Final Destination and is there a fucking gremlin on the wing?
Yep. And this one, the gremlin gets all wet, so you know it's multiplying. I got gremlins. They're multiplying.
He's eating after midnight. You see him just having a full... What's the deal with gremlins and airplane food? They're always on the wing. They're eating it.
That we should do a Twilight Zone Jerry Seinfeld.
All right, what are we going to do? Listen. I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld lately, and I realized I'm George Costanza, and it is a harrowing thing to realize.
George might be my favorite character.
Oh, he's mine.
Everybody but Jerry is my favorite character. Never has there been like a show named after the main guy, and you're like, he's my least favorite. Not that I hate Jerry, the character. But I like everybody else more.
I didn't like Kramer until he did that set at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, man. He's just really good at stand-up. He's just really, telling it like it is.
He's got a really, back before TikTok was all about crowd work, he had the best crowd work clip go viral.
God, I got to set up my camera in the back of the Laugh Factory. Would that be funny if, not funny because he says the N-word a bunch.
Like
a lot.
Just
the concept of him like setting a camera up in the back to make content for his TikTok.
Tonight's the night. Oh, no. That's a Twilight Zone twist right there. It's Michael Richards getting ready to go do stand-up. And all of a sudden, he's like, I'm going to get a good clip tonight. And then it pans over, and you see the Laugh Factory background. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's that night.
It's racist Matt Rife.
I think that's just Matt Rife. I think that's just who that is.
I don't know. Maybe. He's handsome.
Why are you fangirling right now?
Oh, I'm very verklempt or whatever. Yeah. Directed by Richard Donner. Now, he did a lot because I had to look it up, and I said, I know that name. He directed The Omen, which I know one day on this show we're going to talk about, Gavin.
Absolutely
The Omen.
Not.
Superman 2, Goonies, Scrooged, and Lethal Weapons 1 through 4, as far as I can tell. This guy's done a lot.
Yeah, he did. I know him mostly from Superman, but I've also seen The Omen. He also did a executive producer on Tales from the Crypt. Mm-hmm. He did 3 episodes of that show as well. So yeah, Richard Donner gets around. He's a little bit of an anthology slut.
Old Dick Donner.
Is that what they call him?
That's what I call him, Dick Donner.
A hog's a hog.
Dick Donner, Namir Kilder.
So this episode, why do you think this episode is so popular? Is it just because of William Shatner?
I don't think it's just because of him, but they've done it a lot. They did it in the Twilight Zone movie with John Lithgow. They did it in the reboot recently with, as I said, Adam Scott. I don't know why it's so, maybe because it's one of those where we're all going to fly. We may not all eat lunch in the bank vault, but a lot of us are going to fly.
Yes. I eat in the bank vault every day, but whatever.
That's true. Took producer wife's grandma to a restaurant where she lives, and there's a restaurant called The Bank. It's in an old bank.
Oh.
So, yeah. What was I going to say? I just think it's one of those where most of us have flown, and not even doing research, but I came across a group on Facebook. It was one of those suggested groups, and it was talking about this episode. So, of course, I joined the group. And I was reading the comments, and people are like, I saw this when it came out, so of course probably they were kids back in, and it scared the shit out of them. Because we could talk about the look of the gremlin. Doesn't look great, I would say, but it kind of looks weird enough to see that in your nightmares.
Yeah. I do want to say that the gremlin is genuinely terrifying when he opens the window and it's just there.
His
face. We've discussed my lifelong fear of things looking in windows, particularly a dead man looking in the window. It's my mother's traumatization of me. But when that I hate that. There's a scene in Midnight Mass where the vampire, spoiler, is like looking in the window at one scene, and you're like,
shot Lenny.
You're like, God damn it. He shoots Lenny and Dumbledore and then looks in the window. and that is so scary because anytime I have to like do what Stephanie calls night check, where I go upstairs and like make sure all the doors are locked, all the lights are turned off, I'm always like, if there's some son of a bitch looking in this window at me, I'm going to pee myself and then not know what to do.
Well, and that, because the reveal is so close to your face, because you don't look out the window from 8 feet away.
Yeah.
You pull the curtain back and stick your face right in the window.
Yeah, and that gremlin is all up in there. And how would you describe the look of the gremlin?
Like a mutated face. Maybe like it looked like it came from The Hills Have Eyes.
He's got a spooky face, and his body is just, it looks like, have you ever seen a comfy?
Explain it.
A comfy is like kind of like a snuggie. I have one. I should have worn it. But it's like an oversized hoodie blanket.
Yeah.
And it's got like that fleecy, like big fur on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, this guy's in a comfy. And I would not want to get my comfy wet.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's got to stink. That kind of
looks like a, yeah.
Yeah, it's just got a
like
stink.
A sponge, like spongy fur.
Yeah. I do think he is scary when he's right up on the window. That's genuinely terrifying. I think the idea of him messing with the plane is scary, too. But there's also a lot of humor in this for me that I think makes it not as scary.
Well, and it, also, like, what's its end game? It takes the plane down, then it does it also die?
I don't think it gives a fuck. It's just like, I'm here
it's
to...
an agent of chaos.
He's like, I just like rubble, man. I just want to see the rubble of this plane. That's what I'm about.
To have that. And it's like when they sit down and she's like, oh, don't start smoking yet. Later he'll get a gun on the plane. Like, times have changed, man, because this, if they did it again this episode, like he'd have like a box cutter from somebody.
Oh,
you know?
My God. I wrote on in my notes, smoking on the plane. And then there's like a no smoking sign. And the no smoking sign just means you can't smoke yet. It's like you can't smoke before the plane takes off. Once you're in the air, they're like, whatever, do it. But it's like, it's not a no smoking sign. It's like you gotta wait to smoke.
Yeah, and he's got fire on the plane.
He's got fire. At one point, the pilot just gives him lithium. They're like, let's just give this man a sedative.
And he's also, can I talk to the pilot? Like, there, just today, the news story when I was writing for Bob and Tom, there's a news story today at the time of this recording. This guy asked two different flight attendants if they wanted to join the Mile High Club. And then he asked how to get into the cockpit.
Nobody has good intentions getting into the cockpit.
No, nobody wants to go in there to just see all the bright buttons. Like, and like every like 6 months or like there's a story of somebody getting dragged out of the plane. There's somebody getting duct taped to the plane. So like to have a breakdown, you can't just have this dude yelling on the plane because that's going to panic everybody else. And it's like there's nowhere to go.
Yes. So the crux of this episode is he sees this gremlin on the wing who's just doing gremlin shit on the wing.
Yeah.
He's pulling up the panel and he's like, look out there. There's a man on the wing, a man or a gremlin. It's William Shatner. Mm-hmm. So he's like, huh, 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 huh.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
There's a gremlin on the wing. And they're like, there's nothing there, sir. And this is so reminiscent of that viral TikTok from last year. That was like, I'm telling you right now, this motherfucker is not real. And like, this is the Twilight Zone. We live this.
Then that lady is real.
Yes. She's,
yeah, there was a viral video. And it's like, Simpsons did it or the Twilight Zone did it. Like,
yeah.
Just the origins of so many stories.
Yeah, and that woman was, like, dragged off the plane. And then when the plane landed, there was a reptilian man sitting in the seat. Yeah. And she was right.
It was Hillary Clinton.
She was eating a baby and drinking its blood, as you do in a pizza restaurant.
But what, like, I'm not a nervous flyer because I'm a firm believer that if the plane's going to go down, I really can't do anything, and I'm going to turn into Mr. Vesuvius on the way down.
I feel like you turn to Mr. Vesuvius when anything happens.
Hey, the pizza's here. But it's like if one person starts to panic, don't you kind of just get a little nervous, especially on a plane?
Yeah, when I flew back in May, it wasn't even a little panicking. I was just on the plane with like rowdy eighth graders going to DC on a field trip, and I didn't like that. That made me uncomfortable because they were rowdy and they were just unhinged teenagers, and I was like, I don't like this. And yeah, I'm not afraid of flying, but there is a bit of uneasiness throughout the whole process.
It's one of those where like if something goes wrong. You don't just pull over to the side of the highway.
Yeah.
It's like there's a reason Captain Sully is so respected and well known because rarely does shit go wrong and then people live afterwards.
Yeah. But did you know you're actually more likely to die in a car accident than a plane crash?
That's true, but also if something goes wrong on a plane, you're probably going to die.
That's you right. You right.
I don't have a crew checking my Honda before I take off, you know.
What I do like about this episode though is that every time the flight attendant comes over, she's calling him by his name. Be like, "Mr. Wilson, can I help you? Mr. Wilson, is there anything else I can do for you?"
"Hey, Mr. Wilson."
It's very personable back in the 60s.
They knew everybody, and like again, he gives it what you said, lithium, and then he cheeks it, not in his butt, but in his face cheek.
He does put it in his prison pouch.
He keistered it.
They give him some kind of sedative because he's freaking out. He's bothering his wife. And also, I love that the opening narration just violates all of HIPAA. They're like, he was in a sanitarium.
Yeah, he's not stably well, not well. And like, I like that his wife is just like, "I'm going to take a sleeping pill, even though it's your first flight back. I'm just going to go ahead and sleep.
I'll support you I'll support you later. You got this, right?"
Yeah, in between Z's. Are you a plane sleeper, Gavin?
I've never really slept on a plane. The flights I usually take aren't that long. So I'm usually a podcast or Hulu guy on the plane.
Yeah.
I'm not a plane sleeper. Also, normally, a lot of times I fly by myself and I just don't feel comfortable like falling asleep next to a stranger.
I only sleep when it's to the point of exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at the end of working shows or whatever, and I've gotten up early so I can get back. And it's not even like I'm going to go to sleep. It's just my head starts to nod. That's the, mm-hmm. And it's like never good sleep, you know?
Yeah. I think I probably had that kind of sleep before where you're like nodding off or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't sleep in the middle seat though. There's no sleep in the middle seat.
No. And it's like, also you mentioned Hulu or podcast. I got to bring something. Cause I know we're going to be in the air for 4 hours, but have you ever just seen somebody sitting on a plane and they're just straight ahead, nothing. They got nothing with them. This is not, you didn't get on the plane by accident, and they just chose to not bring anything to do.
Yeah, that, and they're just reading the menu the entire time.
Yeah, what kind of serial killer are you where you didn't bring an activity to do?
Bring a maze. Do something.
Something, yeah.
Bring a Life magazine.
Yeah, even what Shatner brought a newspaper.
And his pack of cigarettes, so he has something to do.
And then, you know, are we to assume that that guy in the back was a cop?
Yeah, or the air marshal.
But well, yeah, you can kind of... Do they even have them back then, air marshals?
I think so. I think they've been around forever.
Because does every plane have an air marshal? Do you know that? Post 9/11, stuff is weird, but...
Let me see. Air marshal creation. Let's see. The Air Marshal service began on March 2nd, 1962.
Okay.
So this would be like the first year. They're like, let's get him on the plane.
Yeah.
I think every plane is supposed to have an Air Marshal on there just in case. But
yeah.
I've heard both ways where it's like they have to have one there. And then it's like, just sometimes. But this, whoever this is, just has their gun out.
And sleeping.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't have a gun and also sleep. You're protecting nobody.
Yeah, I took my Ambien when we were getting on, so I'll be passed out by the time. I'll be tweeting racist things by the time we hit the skies.
I'll deal with the consequences when I wake up, but I got some hot takes about some politicians who are black.
His wife is constantly just going back to sleep. Nobody will believe him, and anytime he brings somebody over to the window, the gremlin's smart and just disappears, because it's not never asked, like, how's this thing staying on a plane? That doesn't really matter. That's not part of the story, you know?
I don't need those answers, but I love every time the gremlin disappears, it just, like, just lets itself go and goes, whoo, and just, like, kind of, like, floats backwards, and you're like, this son of a bitch.
That's crafty.
Yeah, it's real crafty. Just, I love every time he disappears because he's just, whoo, he's in the wind.
You think there's like a weird Monsters, Inc. like group of, instead of scaring kids, they just take down planes and shit like that? Like,
I think those are
yeah,
just
I got
terrorists.
A 747 last week.
those are just terrorists. Like you're talking about the Taliban, Brent. That's who takes down planes.
You know who we needed on this plane was Harrison Ford. Air Force One.
Oh, okay. Air Force. I've never seen Air Force One.
That's good. He says, get off my plane.
Oh, okay. Or Samuel L. Jackson. I've had it with these motherfucking gremlins on this motherfucking plane.
Yeah, so, of course, the plane lands, and we see that... Go ahead.
Okay, you are bearing the lead, my friend. Okay, the plane does not land until William Shatner takes a gun, opens the fucking window, and starts shooting at the gremlin.
He buckles himself and is almost sucked at. Because just last week at the time of this recording, I think the wall or the door of a plane just fell off.
Yes. That scares me. Like, that does scare me. I'm not afraid of a plane crashing as much as I am afraid of somebody opening the door and me getting sucked out.
Well, that was another story of a guy. He opened the door and fell out onto the tarmac even before they took off. They're not child locks. You have child locks on your car, Gavin, where the kid in the back can't open.
But this guy can just open the door on the plane. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a fear I have, is that somebody's going to be like, what does this do? And then we all get sucked off.
Oh, yeah, I'm there, baby.
Your dick is out so fast.
But, yeah, he opens the door and he somehow... I don't know how fast planes go, 700 miles an hour. It's like that Gravitron ride where you get stuck to the wall. They don't have to strap anybody in, but he's able to like move his arm and shoot the gremlin.
Yeah, I don't know how that... I don't know if the bullet would even shoot straight at that point.
Yeah, I don't know that... Like, you'd have to give it some lead. Again, we're already talking about a gremlin on a plane, so it doesn't matter.
No, I need the physics of how to do this. Like, do I need it? It's like a sniper. You're like, well, how's the wind going? Real fast. So we're going to shoot the front of the plane and hope the bullet gets to the gremlin.
He's been in the waiting room. I'm going to go ahead and let him in the Zoom meeting. Go ahead, Chris Kyle. You're on the line.
He's holding a fake baby. Why is he holding a fake baby?
Oh, but yeah. So he shoots the window out, and now everybody's getting sucked off, as you said.
Everybody's getting sucked off. So good. The men, the women, everybody.
And he apparently shoots the gremlin. Then cut to him in a straitjacket, I think, on a gurney.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's had mental breakdowns before. What a bad time. Why'd you give this dude the window seat first off?
Yeah. Why? Because, his wife's like, do you want the window? Should I take the window? He's like, no, I'll do it.
I got it.
We don't even know why he's in. Why he was in a sanitarium. Other than, like, he had a mental breakdown.
I think on a plane, right?
Yeah. So he's got some kind of fear of flying or something. But yeah, he lands on the tarmac. I guess they got him back in the plane.
I mean, he was seatbelted in, so I guess, you know.
I just imagine everybody else once they get the situation calmed down, they're all just sitting there and be like, this fucking draft. It is it is cold, it's raining, everybody wet, they've been sucked off, and they just want to go home or get to Dallas wherever they're going.
What do you think they said to that guy with the gun? Hey, man, could you watch over your gun better?
Hey, man, if you're going to sleep, could you maybe not bring the gun?
Yeah, or at least put it in the seat pocket in front of you or something.
Yeah, his gun was hanging off in the aisle. His gun was in the aisle.
It was getting hit by the cart as they were taking stuff by.
It misfired because they're like, excuse
oh,
me.
Oh, my
sir.
Bad.
My bad. Dr. Pepper, sir? Not Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, whole can, not the third.
I know what I'm an air marshal. I deserve this.
Yeah. My name's Marshall, if you get the gist.
But Brent, hit us with that. My name is Marshall. Hit us with that twist.
Well, it turns out, am I reading something or the post, the twist is, that of course he's going to be taken to the sanitarium and then it cuts to the wing that was opened. the stuff is was the guts were getting ripped out of this plane wing.
The gremlin was doing it. It was doing it. And that gremlin does not look like an aviation expert.
No, he's just in there. It'd be like if they said, take down the plane. That's exactly what I'd be doing, is like ripping wires.
That's got to be important. Wires are always important.
On the wing?
Yeah.
Gotta be.
You want to hit us with that closing narration?
The flight of Mr. Robert Wilson has ended now. A flight not only from point A to point B, but also from the fear of recurring mental breakdown. Mr. Wilson has that fear no longer, though for the moment he is, as he said, alone in the assurance. Happily, his conviction will not remain isolated to much longer, for happily, tangible manifestation is very often left as evidence of trespass, even from so intangible a quarter as the Twilight Zone.
Door. I love the narration in this, but they definitely just pulled out a thesaurus and were like, let's use these $5 words.
Yeah, $5 words, and then I'll read them in this voice.
Yeah. And I don't, happily, his conviction will not remain isolated too much longer. I don't, that is, that whole sentence is like, does that mean anything?
I don't know. I just read the words that they put in front of me.
Yeah, and smoke the cigarettes that they provide.
Nick Kravitz was a stuntman. He played the gremlin, so.
Yep. Good old gremlin. I really like that. I really like that episode. It's classic. It does take a little bit to get going. Because, before the first commercial break, it's just a man who can't smoke on a plane.
And that's if you're a smoker, you know exactly what he's talking about.
You get the fiend.
The fiend. So, those are the two episodes. What's your favorite kill, Gavin?
What's your favorite? Gotta be that gremlin.
Oh, I'm gonna go with the world besides Burgess Meredith.
Yes. What's your oh shit moment?
Probably the oh shit moment, I guess, when he shot the window out.
You're like, God damn. Go ahead.
You go.
My oh shit moment is probably when he breaks his glasses at the end.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Are these would you put these on at a party?
I think you could definitely put them in. I think you could put like a marathon on at a party as background noise. I think it's got to be a certain type of friend group who appreciates it.
Yeah, but not if they're doing keg stands, they don't care about the Twilight Zone, you know?
Be like, actually, this is actually a morality tale. If you actually come over here and watch, is this called Talking Tina, actually?
Hey, I just shit on the table. Oh, shit, is that Burgess Meredith? Oh. And I think if you're putting the Twilight Zone on, it's got to be the hits. It's got to be you walk past and, oh, I know this. I can enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know?
Nope, nothing but deep cuts from season 4.
Yeah, just nobody knows those episodes.
Yes, for sure. If you like the Twilight Zone, Brent, what would you recommend?
Some stuff we've already covered on here, Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark, Tales from the Crypt. I'm not seeing a lot of Black Mirror, but it's the same vibe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Alfred Hitchcock Presents. What about you?
Tales from the Crypt. Definitely love Tales from the Crypt. Outer Limits. I don't know if you know about Outer Limits. It's a little bit better.
I've heard of her.
It's a little bit better than Twilight. Also, American Horror Story.
Okay.
They're not, or more specifically, American Horror Stories. Those are all the anthology ones.
Yeah,
those are all the single episode arcs. So definitely check those out if you like Ryan Murphy and American Horror Story.
Yeah, I mean, anything that's anthology, there's the John Carpenter's, I think it's called Body Bags.
Mm-hmm.
He narrates it, and that's an anthology movie. What's the George Romero, Stephen King movie?
Creepshow.
Yeah, anything that's an anthology. Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat's really good. There's the Friday the 13th series, which
I never watched that, but I think that's an anthology one, right?
It is. I hear it's varying as far as like, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we covered it, right?
We did. We did. So that was the Twilight Zone. That was a lot of fun. I would love to do a couple more at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would normally ask what we're going to cover next week, Gavin, but I got some bad news.
Oh, no. What's your bad news that you told me before going on air?
Yeah. Well, we had a break and then we started back up. But I got somebody sick in my family. So Gavin, may be bringing in some people to fill in for me, but I need some time to take care of some family stuff. So, I just wanted to let you know, dear listener, that, I may be here. I may be not, until we kind of figure things out. So, appreciate you being patient and especially you to the Patreon people, but, I got to take care of some stuff at home. So that's what's going on.
Yeah, and like Brent said, I will still take over. I'm going to try to bring in some guest hosts to cover both on regular episodes and bonus episodes for our Patreon subscribers over at patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. I also want to do a live stream for the Patreon subscribers just to hang out and give you that content. But Brent, we all want, me especially, because I'm so kind and caring, but we all want you to take care of everything, and like, we completely understand. And I even asked you, I was like, if you want to go on hiatus again, no one's going to be pissed, like, no one will be mad, but I will hold it down while you take care of business, and we all just wish the absolute best for you during this trying time, and we appreciate you so much.
And I've already had some well wishes, so I appreciate everybody that has reached out, and I'm not leaving, but I'm needed elsewhere currently, and I want to try and record whenever I can. It's just things are up in the air right now, so we'll be back and just watch the feed for episodes, whether it be me and Gavin or Gavin and somebody else. So, and I'm sorry, but that's just how it is right now. So,
yeah, but we love you. We do.
I love you too. Should I say the thing?
I think you should. Yeah, go ahead and say it. Now that we've ended on a downer, say the thing so we can leave.
Sorry. They're coming to get you.
Barbara!
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.